turn your Bibles to Revelation 12, verse 5. And last week we saw more of the scriptures pertaining to the Jews rebuilding their temple, their third temple, and a parenthetical information about the Antichrist who betrays the Jews along with that. And then today's study, which I actually planned on kind of blowing through last week, if we would have had more time, of Satan being kicked out of heaven, to not even have access to heaven. But we're going to spend our study today going in greater detail than I was planning on going through to understand the spiritual world that we're in, going to be in, that we are in now, and what the world is going to be in. And so let's close up with Revelation 12:5, what we closed up with last week, and then we'll get into our study for this week. She, being Israel, bore a male child, who was Jesus, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, clearly Jesus, and her, Israel's child, was caught up to God and his throne. And then, you know, like I said last week, then a 2,000-year delay plus, then the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years of 30-day months. And so, you know, a time future. So what happened is Jesus ascended into heaven, and then in a time future, Israel is going to again be on the scene. Daniel's 70th week is going to put them back on the scene. And after the first 3.5 years of them living in the land, building their temple, everything that was covered in the earlier part of the chapter 11 and 12, all of a sudden they're going to have to flee into the wilderness to get away from this Antichrist. Now, at the same time that is happening, a war happens in heaven where Satan and his demonic horde are going to be forever banished from heaven. And that's why it immediately then goes to verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they, Satan and the demons, did not prevail. Praise God. Can't prevail. They're not God. They just want to be God. They think they're God. They think Satan was God. That's why they were deceived to follow him. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So, who is this Michael? Going back to verse 7, war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. I'm going to say that the Bible teaches that Michael is the most powerful of the archangels. And we're going to find out that Michael is an archangel that is specifically assigned by God to watch over the affairs of the Jews. And so we're going to be seeing that as we go through these verses. Turn to Daniel 10:10 again. And Daniel and Revelation are kind of like hand in glove. You can't understand Daniel without Revelation to a certain extent. You can't understand Revelation without Daniel to a larger extent. And there was a time in Daniel's life where he's praying. He was always praying, seeking to know from God the timing of things pertaining to the nation of Israel. And so he's been fasting and praying. And suddenly, in verse 10, a hand touched me, touched Daniel, which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms, on my hands. And so he had been laying prostrate, just praying to God, and a hand touched me. He gets up, and I started to tremble in fear. And he said to me, "O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Now, this is not Jesus. This is, you know, we've been talking about Gideon being visited by the angel of the Lord. This is an angel of the Lord. We're going to find out. He's just a messenger that has been sent by God to go and give Daniel an answer to his prayer of understanding the timing of things. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." He's been praying for several days. How many of you have ever prayed for several days? All you're doing is just praying for several days. I'd say for several days been nothing but praying. Too busy, right, to pray. But Daniel, he's He's sitting there, and what he wants to do is, I want to know, God, I want to hear from you. And he's praying, and an angel gets sent. And the angel was sent the day he started. And this is going to be important. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, what he's talking about, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, in context, this prince means a ruler over Persia, which is Iran, and it's an angelic ruler, and it's meaning a demonic ruler. So in other words, while this angel has been sent by God to go minister to Daniel, the answer to his question in prayer, he gets intercepted by the angel in charge of Persia, which is where Daniel was. And that angel of Satan says, no, you're not. And we're going to duke it out. And they're duking it for 21 days. I mean, when we hear about angelic battles, it's beyond our comprehension, I think, to really understand what it's going to be like. And he's saying that demon of Persia, in charge of the nation of Persia. And so there's demons probably assigned, a key demon of Satan assigned to the America and to China and to Russia and to Greece and to whatever else. And how could a country so quickly turn to demonic activity if not for demonic powers being given permission by God? Yep, go ahead. Let this guy rule. Let his friends rule. Let his friends corrupt this country that was once founded on the things of God. And all of a sudden, we're going to close our study today, if we have time, with Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, is what the Bible says. And we know that, we read that, we believe that, but I don't think we comprehend that. Amen. We do not understand, really, how big of a deal it is. And, well, these guys are duking it for 21 days, and behold, Michael, for his mention of Michael, one of the chief princes is of God, an archangel, one of the key rulers of the good angels with God, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. You know, the princesses and the kings over this Persian nation that is looking to destroy the nation of Israel and doing the evil biddings of the demonic powers. And so Michael comes and says, what? Oh, man, you need some help. Let me take care of this guy. You know, and just flicks him off to the side. And now this angel from God going to communicate with Daniel is able to communicate with Daniel because Michael helped him out. Now, I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. So Daniel was, I want to know about the last days. So what Daniel is now being told are things that are going to happen in the last days. Go to verse 20. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? Yes, to answer the things about the last days. And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. So I know what's going to happen. God's told me the battle plan is us angels are behind the scenes dealing with angelic beings of Satan trying to corrupt the world and being sent by God. The other angels, the angels of God, are sent to go do their thing. And they go, man, I'm going to have to duke it with Persia. And then after that, I'm going to have to duke it with the angel of Greece. By the way, Greece is in the news again. And here it is. Their deal with the European Union to pay back billions of dollars and agree to do so, they originally said, forget you. We don't care. We don't care if you kick us out of the EU. We're not going to pay you back. And then last week, they finally, under pressure, they said, okay, we'll pay you back. And everybody's shocked. Wow. They're going to have a lot of explaining to do to their people because their people voted those communists in to tell Europe to just take a hike and we're not going to pay you back. And so then early this week, what the head of Greece, and some people think the head of Greece is the Antichrist. So keep your eye on that. There's some people that are writing about how this guy is just rising to power and all this other stuff. Who knows? Who cares? We're looking for Jesus to come back and let the world look for the Antichrist. But here's the thing. He says this week, he goes, yeah, we're going to pay you back. By the way, you owe us about 3/4 of the amount that we owe Europe. Germany, you owe us 3/4 of that for World War II. So we're just going to say that you just start paying back for World War II. And that's not going over very well with Germany or with Europe. And so what's really happened? Okay, now, so that's what we read in the news. Oh, this guy, this communist guy, and oh, Europe. And what's really happening? The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, the prince of Europe and the EU and everything else. And they want, you know, what do the demons want to do? They want to create this global conflict that results in their man, the Antichrist, coming to power and global government. Because see, what happens is if Satan can rule the world with his guy, because there's just one nation, one global empire, then he can kill them all. He can use the power of the world to do what he needs to do, do his evil bidding. And that's what the demons want. That's what they're working for. And the angels of God are fighting. And God rules over it by what the people want. And the people are clearly wanting Satan. And we don't. We want Jesus. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to take care of you. You want me. You come up and let them have what they want. But I will tell you, what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against you except Michael, your prince. So Michael's a good guy. That's item number one from Daniel 1. Let's go to Daniel 11:41. Now we find out some more about Michael in this section of scripture. Daniel 11:41. He, meaning the Antichrist here in context, when he is in the last, see, this is the vision that he's being explained to, a couple of times more. He's prayed and he keeps on being given more information. He, the Antichrist, is going to enter the glorious land. That's the land of Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. Yes, anybody that's contrary to the 10-nation world empire will be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon, Jordan. That's Jordan. Somehow Jordan is spared some of the control of the Antichrist. Maybe Jordan will be like the Switzerland of World War II. You know how they were kind of neutral. Wasn't Sweden? Switzerland, right? Yeah, I got it right now. I was thinking, okay. So just like Switzerland was neutral, maybe there's going to be Jordan. It's going to be somehow it's going to get out of his grasp. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasuries of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans, the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And the Antichrist is going to be constantly promising peace, bringing war as he goes on, especially in the last 3.5 years. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. So between what seas? The sea, the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea and the glorious holy mountain. He's going to be right there close to Jerusalem, putting his tent up. And why a tent? You know, his dwelling place. And maybe it really means a tent because buildings aren't going to be doing very well in all the earthquakes that are happening during the tribulation period. And people are just putting tents up. And he shall plant his tent there in the glorious mountain, yet he shall come to his end and no one will help him. Why? How does he come to his end? Jesus comes back and puts an end to him. And no one's going to help him because it's Jesus coming back, Revelation chapter 19. And then Daniel 12:1. At that time, at the time of the very end, at the time where he's doing all this masquerading and stuff, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who, and this is important, stands watch over the sons of your people. Who are the sons of Daniel's people? They are the Jews. So Michael the archangel is an angel assigned by God to watch over the affairs of the Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And this is so important because what is this time? What is the time of trouble like never before? It's the last 3.5 years, which is what we're reading in Revelation chapter 12. So this is a perfect parallel passage of what's going on. Michael's standing up and he's going to watch over the nation of Israel as Satan is being kicked out of heaven in Revelation 12. And the angels of heaven say, whoa, whoa, whoa to the earth, because now Satan has been kicked out and he knows he doesn't have much time left. Michael is sent down to stand up for the nation of Israel to not let Satan destroy them as he goes on a rampage against the Jews as he turns away from being their supposed Messiah and deceiving them. Let's go to Jude only chapter, verse 8. There's only one chapter of Jude. Jude's just before Revelation, so all you have to do is get closer to our text in Revelation. Turn to verse 8 of Jude and see that Michael was actually... This is actually the first historical account on the timeline of Michael. Now, it's mentioned first in Daniel, but Jude, under inspiration of God, gives us another piece of information that's not recorded in the Old Testament anywhere, but it's about the time of Moses. It's pertaining to the time of Moses. In Jude, verse 8, likewise, also these dreamers, these false prophets, these false teachers that mock God and the demons, actually, the spiritual angels, dreamers, defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So even though he's basically what Jude's saying, even though Michael is the greatest of the archangels, he didn't make a reviling accusation like he could take on Satan himself. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Because we can't do anything in our spiritual battles against the devil and his enemy without in the name of Jesus. We have no power against these guys. What Jude is saying is, Michael the archangel doesn't lip off to Satan. Then people down here who act like they can just command Satan around by their own power and authority of who they are false teachers and, you know, as he said here, these dreamers that defile the flesh, reject authority. You can tell a false teacher that isn't understanding the true spiritual battle if they just think that they can tell Satan by their own power what to do. When we battle against the enemy, we do it in humility of who we are and in the awareness of the greatness of the God who we serve, or we're going to be in trouble. So, going back to Revelation 12:7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, another term for Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they, Satan and the demons, the fallen angels, did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So now people sometimes get confused about this, because Jesus even said that Satan fell from heaven, that he was in heaven, but he was kicked out of heaven, wasn't he? So why is he still up in heaven? Well, let's turn to Job chapter 1, verse 6, very familiar passage. But and I really want us to try and understand this, because there is just, it's so important. In fact, as you're turning to Job chapter 1, verse 6, and Shirley's here, she can verify what I was saying yesterday. I'm bemoaning the fact more and more how kids today are, if they make it through this culture, being able to know Jesus, love Him, trust Him, and put away the things of the world, it is an unbelievable miracle. Because at Good News Club yesterday, we're sharing with the kids that are there, and we're telling the story about this conversion of Saul of Tarsus and everything, and how he was overcome by God on the road to Damascus, and somehow the conversation got into communicating with the dead. No, communicating with the dead is like, you know, people, they were saying, well, there's this TV show, or this is a psychic, and they can communicate with the dead. They saw a TV show, and this person can go and talk to your relatives. And so we got into the discussion of demons, how demons can, they know what your relatives are doing. They're in this room. They could be in this room. They could be in this room right here. And they know what your relatives are doing. And so if they masquerade in some seance of calling up the dead, some psychic person that is into necromancy in violation of the scripture, and all of a sudden, oh, your relative wants you to know this. Well, no one knows this but my relative and the demon. You know, it's like, how are you supposed to know? And I said, you guys have got to understand, this is a spiritually wicked world. There's demons. There's really demons. I mean, you have Katy Perry, the singer from the Super Bowl, she was raised in a Christian home and now she's serving the devil. No, but that's my favorite song. I mean, her songs are my favorite. She's my favorite. And I said, thank God. And I said, look, I'll bring you some information next week how she's serving the devil now. She's given her life over to the devil. And well, okay, and I want to, you show me the lyrics for Dark Horse. Yeah, you show me a Dark Horse and this other song. I want to see what you're saying. And Jeremy, help me out because I don't follow Katy Perry or the songs. Never heard it. I'm sitting there listening to it. But how did you know so much? No, he researched it a lot more than I did. And unfortunately, he sent me a link. And you know, you go to the link, the link is full of imagery of Egyptian, all-seeing eye, pyramid, Egyptian gods and goddesses. They wear these Egyptian god and goddess hats, and it's all wrapped up in occultic Illuminati Satanism. And there's another YouTube video where she said, yeah, you know, I mean, I started out doing, I did gospel songs the whole time I was growing up because that's what we did. And then I tried to break out and did some songs. What was it? And then I sold my soul to the devil. She said that in an interview. And just flew to the top of the charts. And is now Super Bowl material. To this culture that is wrapped up in, we're wrapped up into the occult. And then they mentioned a show on TV, the best show on ABC. Never seen it, don't know anything about it. Shirley was telling me a little bit about it. Okay. Oh, because she's researched it too. And then I'm sitting there, okay, out of a school of 500 plus kids, we've got 5 kids that have the time and the parents' desire to let them hear about the Bible, and those kids are completely wrapped up and deceived by the culture that is destroying them. Yeah. I left the room at halftime. And I never saw the halftime show.
I didn't see the whole thing. She was riding a beast.
Oh, yeah. A woman riding a beast?
She was riding.
Oh, yeah. No. We'll get there. A little bit later in Revelation, the woman that rides the beast, the Babylonian Empire, the New World Order. And I mean, America doesn't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And I don't even know if the kids will be back next week. They're going to go home and say, Kevin thinks that Katy Perry is from Satan. And, okay, you're done with Good News Club. Who knows what's going to happen? Except that they got to hear the truth. And see, the parents don't know. If we don't know what's going on in the spiritual world, we are done in this culture. We better be aware of how Satan is working and infiltrating and then resist him. Because James says, resist the devil and he flees from you. So if we don't resist and we let the kids go and, watch that show. Yeah, have a Katy Perry, Kathy Perry thing in your room and do all this other stuff. Oh, just, it's over. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So sons of God in the book of Job and the Old Testament always means the angelic host. And it's neutral. It means all of them. It means the angels of Satan and it means the angels of God. So in other words, there was a time where the sons of God came to present themselves. That God at times just, hey, it's time to muster up here in heaven for whatever reason he calls them. And so Satan comes along with him because he has to. He's an angelic being and he's been called to the presence of God. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And, you know, I'm inspiring some musicians down there on earth to come up with some of my songs that are going to be loved by the whole world. And it's going to entice them because they're going to love me more than you, God. You just watch what I can do down there to mess people up. That's what I've been doing down there on earth. And so Satan right now, and this is what was happening in Job's day, is happening today. Satan is allowed to walk on this earth. How do we know that? Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, your adversary, is walking around on this earth seeking who he can devour. So he's down here seeking who he can devour. And then when God calls the angels up there for whatever reason, they go up there. And God has this discussion with Satan. Then the Lord said to Satan, verse 8, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, about his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the works of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and then destroyed everything about this man's family except for his own life and health at that point. Chapter 2, he's given permission to take Job's health and his wife. His wife wasn't touched. She had to be left behind to say, curse God and die. So now, and I'm going to make one sidebar comment here. Calvinism is destroyed by these verses right here. How is Calvinism destroyed? Because God says, have you seen Job? He fears God and shuns evil. And he's not saying, I made him fear God and shun evil. I didn't force him to. Actually, God is saying he's a righteous man. And Calvinism said, no one's right. Everybody's totally depraved. Well, God doesn't think so, because he thinks that Job's a pretty good guy. And besides that, Satan doesn't say, well, you made him that way. What does Satan say? Satan says, you take his stuff away, he'll curse you with his free will. So Satan understands that Satan knows God. He's created by God. He sits in the throne of God. He knows his plan. Satan did not say, well, take his choosing away, unchoose him, and then he's mine. It's only because you chose him. Satan said, take away his stuff and he'll curse you. So everybody see the significance of just this verse? This is an incredible section of scripture that makes it very clear on the nature of God. So, so then Satan went out from the presence and messed with Job, and you can read the rest of Job sometime. But turn to 2 Chronicles 18:18. This is another really important view into the demonic world and its interaction with God. And as you're turning to 2 Chronicles 18:18, this is so important today, because people will say, what about the tsunami? God allowed the tsunami in Indonesia to wipe out 200,000 people. He allowed the tsunami in Japan to, fry some reactor plants and kill a bunch of people and pollute the world and all this other stuff. And so why didn't God stop that? Well, what we see in Scripture, the bad things that happen, are actually God allowing the evil to do so. People say, well, that's still God allowed it to happen. No. At the request of people who want Satan instead of God. It's judgment. And Ahab was a wicked king of Israel, a horrible, wicked king of Israel. And he is joining with a king from Judah and says, hey, let's go to battle. Let's go fight this nation. And so I'm trying to think, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat says, King Ahab, is there any prophets here to listen to find out if we should go? And so the false prophets come and, oh, king, just go and you're going to just wipe them out. You're going to wipe these bad guys out. And then Jehoshaphat says, these sound like false prophets. You got another one. So they bring Micaiah. Then Micaiah said, Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You want me to tell you the truth? Here's the truth from the word of God. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. Who's on the right hand? Angels of God. Who's on the left? Angels of Satan. That's the way the Bible communicates. The right hand is the good side, the left hand is the bad side. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead in his fight up with Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. So the angels were talking. Well, we can do this, we can do that. The angel of Satan, how can Ahab be judged for all of his evil, wicked, murderous ways? Then a spirit came forward, a demonic spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. So the demons are always asking God, let me go and lie. Let me go down and lie to the government officials of America to just inspire them to do evil, wicked things to destroy a country that turns away from your law. Go ahead. Do that. You'll prevail. If somebody would have told me 10 years ago that all this stuff would have happened with absolute, no retribution, no stop, no impeachment, no everything. I know we're headed to the last days. I know things can go crazy, but how? Because there is a lying spirit in this country. And it is taking over. And therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. So the reason they're telling you, oh, go into battle, King Ahab, is because they're a lying spirit, because they got permission from God to lie to you so that you could be judged by God because of the sins you've committed, which is exactly what happens. He goes into battle and he dies. Turn to Romans 8:31. So, again, the demonic spirits are allowed to be called up to the throne of God. And it's almost like they get issued orders of what they get to do to mess with the inhabitants of the world because of obedience or disobedience to the laws of God. It is where we're at in spiritual warfare. And Romans 8, chapter 31, what shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What's the answer?
No one.
No one. Because if God is for us to send us into heaven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing us from all sin, who can put a stop to that? Nothing. Nobody can be against us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elected? Who's going to do that? Satan and his buddies bring a charge against God's elect. It is God who justifies. God responds by saying, nope, I've made him just as if he didn't sin. I've made her just as if she didn't sin. So you can accuse, but I fixed it through the shed blood of Jesus. Who is he who condemns? Again, Satan. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercessions for us. So Jesus going, oh, no, no, Satan, can't mess with that one. That one's mine. Spiritually speaking, does God allow him to mess with us? Yes, he can persecute us, but he can't take our soul. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So clearly, we cannot be defeated. So let's go back to Revelation. In fact, this is taking a little longer than I was thinking. So yeah, that Good News Club thing is going to make us have to kind of go to warp speed here. So the great dragon was cast out. The great dragon Satan was cast out of heaven. The serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Done. Heaven never has to experience these guys ever again. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. So right now, Satan is allowed to go up there and he badmouths you. And that's what Romans chapter 8 deals with. He's badmouthing us. Who makes an accusation or condemns us before God? Satan and his buddies. But God steps in and intercedes for us as our advocate. And so now he's cast out finally. See, he was cast down, as Luke chapter 10 says. Jesus said he was cast down. I saw him cast down, but he's allowed to go visit. And now he's not allowed to visit. He's forever banished. His keys are taken away from being able to get into heaven. And they, the brethren, overcame him. How did we overcome the devil, Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. We're going to show another, the florist, Arlene Flower, florist lady that I talked about on Sunday. Somebody sent me another link. She got interviewed by Fox News. First time ever she went on the news. How many of you saw it? Any of you seen it? You're going to see it again on Sunday morning. It's a short little interview. And she, they can take my stuff. They can't take me. They can't take me. And I'm going to keep testifying of Jesus. And what a powerful little short interview testimony. And so here's the deal. You want to go be with Jesus? Then what it says right here is you overcome the devil. Why? By the blood of the Lamb. Are you covered in the blood of the Lamb? By the word of your testimony, have you confessed to this world that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And that you have given your life to serve Him? And are you going to stick with that no matter what they do to you? Then you overcome the devil. Michael has to come and help this other guy. You beat the devil by just saying, no, the shed blood of Jesus has cleansed me and justified me in the sight of God, and He is my advocate, and I'm going to serve Him and worship Him. I don't care what you do. You can chop my head off as an ISIS guy. You can do whatever you want to do, and I'm going to serve Jesus until He takes me home. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Woe to guys in submarines, I guess is what it's saying. Don't think you can submerge and get away from the devil. He can be down there too. And so this becomes the third woe, part of the seventh trumpet that's been going on for several verses here, chapter 11 and 12. And now when the dragon Satan saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. He persecuted Israel. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time. Another way of saying 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent. So the Antichrist is possessed. He goes on a rampage after the Jews. He's possessed by Satan and he's after them now. And they're supposed to flee. And so the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like the flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Some people say a flood of troops. The biblical text, there's examples of the flood, a flood being a flood of troops. Others say that somehow the Antichrist is going to divert water to flood these people out. Maybe Satan inside of them will be able to cause a great deluge to try and flood them. And people say the rock city of Petra is where they're going to go to and be protected there. And it's 3,000 feet. It's 3,300 feet in Rock City of Petra. So I don't know how. Somehow it's going to happen. And it says that the earth, verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went out to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the Jews, who's God protecting? The Jews, the women who went and listened to Jesus and fled to the wilderness as soon as they saw the abomination of desolation. They fled to the wilderness. Antichrist goes after those guys. He's thwarted. And then when he's thwarted there, he turns around and he goes, okay, where's the other Jews? Where's the Jews and the other people that are following the Gentiles, the tribulation saints, who are believing in this Jesus still stuff on earth? And he goes and spends the last 3.5 years wiping them out. And again, Daniel said, he's given power to wipe them out. So I again say to my friends that believe in a post-trib rapture, that who's there to rapture? The devil Satan, through the Antichrist, goes off to destroy everybody that has a testimony of Jesus. Because they didn't love their life even to the death. They don't take the mark of the beast. They don't follow the devil and the Antichrist. They don't bow down and worship them. And he's able to destroy and kill them, except for the few that are going to be hiding out somewhere. But there's not going to be many survivors. We live in a spiritually dynamic world. And we have to be on guard to not let some of this stuff come in. I think that Kathy Perry being let into the houses is like the demons come too. And they're living in the rooms of the kids, and they're able to do things and create terror and hardships. And may God have mercy on us. And may we be aware and keep Him out of our homes, our lives, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You for this time and pray You'd give us great wisdom and the gift of discernment. Lord, You say the gift of discernment is a gift of the Spirit, and we need it in these troubling days, Father, and You'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, we're late, and tell the... Who's doing child care over there? Nobody? There's no kids? Huh? Okay, all right. I thought, what happened to... Joe, what happened to yours? Are they? Never mind.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
He wins. Devil loses. And that's a really cool thing. God bless you. Keep you in His care. Might want to read Ephesians 6 as you get home and